If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 29 to 33, and then Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. And if you'll please stand for the reading of the gospel. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, he took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. And then turning over to Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 34, or beginning with verse 21 through 34, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. He asked her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." The word of God for his children. You may be seated. The other day, I was visiting with Leela, actually it was a couple years ago, in the hospital. And the nurse came in to give her some medication, and the nurse took her hand and started looking for a good vein. You've been in that situation before, haven't you? And as the nurse, and Leela said to the nurse, "Oh, the stories these hands could tell. The places they've been, the people they've touched, the shirts and trousers they've hemmed." She used to make all of the costumes for the marching band's color guard. And so her hands had done a lot of hard and difficult things in life. And you know, that got me to thinking about the stories our hands tell. Where you've been, what you've done with them, how they've brought comfort to others, and hopefully little regret. What stories do your hands tell? I want us to think about that this morning in light of today's text. Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus' touch. A woman reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' robe and was made well. A man asked Jesus to heal his little daughter. And by Jesus just touching the little girl with his hands, many others were healed both spiritually and physically with the touch of the Master's hand. Hands. I want you to take a moment and I want you to look at your hands. I want you to seriously look at them. What do yours look like? Are they small? Are they large? Do you have short, stubby fingers? Or do you have long, slender fingers? Put them up to your neighbor's hands. Compare them. Because you know, although most of our hands have four fingers and a thumb, they don't always look the same as everyone else's. But that's because each one of our hands tell a different story. Take just a minute once more and look at your hands and think about some of the things your hands have done over the years. Think back to the time when your hands learned to tie shoelaces. That was a long time ago, and I know for some of us, that was a very difficult thing to do. You just couldn't get your fingers to move in the right direction. Remember the day when you learned to write with a pencil or a pen? Or throw and skip a stone across the water? It takes just a certain movement with your hand to make that happen. What about the time you learned to steer a bicycle? And then later to drive a car? And the excitement of being able to grab a hold of that steering wheel and have control of the car. For those of you a little bit older, you might remember the day your hands placed a ring on the finger of someone as you were getting married. How they were, maybe you used your hands or still use your hands in your career. How you use them to feed your children or play patty cake, or how you use tools, or maybe how you knead bread. And maybe you even remember how you wave goodbye to someone you love dearly. Think about the things your hands have done over all the years of your life. For some of us, it's only been 50-some years. For others, it might be 90 years. Think about all your hands have done. Our hands are full of stories, and they tell the story of our lives. I remember when I was a little girl, my dad was a hog farmer and a grain farmer. And for any of you who have been around hogs, you learn that is a smell that you cannot get off of your hands. And I always dreaded the time whenever I had to tell my dad I had a loose tooth. Because I knew that if he was going to work at getting my tooth out, then I had to smell that horrible hog smell. Now, he would have just told me it smelled like money. But to me, it was like, ugh. So many times I would work and work and work on that tooth until I got it to come out myself. But his hands told a story because they told the story of his livelihood, the story of what helped put food on our table. I think for the woman that Jesus healed, that she'll always remember the day that she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' robe. She'll always remember how she'd been bleeding for 12 long years. And for 12 years, she had been outcast from the rest of society. She couldn't associate with people. She was seen as unclean and unfit. She couldn't even go to worship with her friends because of her condition. No one could touch her, and she could not touch anyone else, for if she did, they would become unclean too. The sadness that this lady must have felt. She went from doctor to doctor, but they couldn't help her. In fact, sometimes going from doctor to doctor only made things worse. She spent everything she had, but nothing worked. And then she heard Jesus was in town. If she could just touch his clothing, she knew that he would make her well. What a wonderful story her hands tell. And her story is experienced in the middle of another story, where hands are used to change lives and bring healing and hope. Jairus' little daughter was dying, and he falls before the feet of Jesus, and he begs Jesus to heal his little girl. And as Jesus goes with him, but on the way, this other woman had touched Jesus and was made well. Word came that Jairus' little daughter had died. But Jesus reassured them on the way, "Don't be afraid." And they all went into the little girl's room. And the Bible tells us that he took her by the hand. And he said to her, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. Because of that touch of Jesus, because Jesus took her by the hand, that little girl's life and the life of her family would never be the same. Because of a hand reaching out just to touch Jesus' robe, a woman's life was forever changed. In the passage from Mark chapter 1, we read that because of Jesus grabbing Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, he helped her to sit up, and her fever went away, and she got up and she cooked dinner for them. That sounds like what happens as soon as we women feel better, doesn't it? We have to get up and cook, but we do it in love because we do it with compassion, and sometimes we do it out of duty to our families. Just because we're sick doesn't mean that the rest of the world stops or there aren't people depending on us. Our hands are full of stories, aren't they? And isn't it amazing how some of the smallest of our hands, or those hands that appear to be so fragile and frail, are some of the most powerful hands? I can't tell you how many times I've been to the hospital and taken the hand of a tiny, frail lady to pray, and she about squeezed the life out of my hand. You been there? But the most powerful hands, church, those hands that are powerful beyond measure, are those hands, the hands of all of us that are offered up in the service of God. Hands that proclaim the love of God to others. Hands like the ladies of our church who bake and collect and work dinners and fill goodie boxes and collect for the community food pantry. There is amazing power in the hands that are offered up to share the love of God. And there's power in the hands of the men in our church, helping out the neighbor who's moving, helping do yard work, helping to put on a new roof, working dinners and delivering meals, building fences. All the ways our hands can be helpful. And maybe it's flipping pancakes. Our youth and children collect items for other children. Our youth and children help serve the church in so many different ways. Church, there is such amazing power in hands that are offered up to share the love of God. You know, Jesus announced to the world the arrival of God's love, but those words were brought to life through his hands. As he lifted people up, he brought healing. He brought healing to their souls. Jesus fed the hungry. He comforted the lonely and gave hope to the hopeless through his hands. Jesus was one of those hands-on kind of guys. He held his hands, often got messy. And you know, when we help others, our hands get messy. And that's what Jesus' ministry looked like. So what do your hands look like? What does your ministry look like today? What does your service look like? For some, I know it's visiting the homebound and those in the nursing homes. Maybe it's doing blood pressure checks or taking friends and neighbors to doctor's appointments or the grocery store. Maybe you cut and style hair. For some, it's reaching out to the neighborhood kids and trying to help them find their way to Jesus as they grow into a relationship with him. For some of you, it's teaching Sunday school or helping out with junior church, caring for children in the nursery, or even before and after the services or leading special studies. That is a wonderful gift to give with your hands. For some, it's making sure that the building is cool in the summer and warm in the winter, and that everything is working just as it is supposed to. For some of you, you like to pick up that telephone and share your love and friendship with another who might be hurting or lonely. But no matter how big or small, or how wrinkled, and as I get older, my hands become more wrinkled, there is amazing power in the hands that are offered to share up the love of God. To be the church is always to be hands-on, to touch, to reach out, to share in Jesus' name. Without a doubt, God intends for you and I to be hands-on kinds of people, to reach out and use our hands in ministry. To be the church is always to be hands-on. And our hands are powerful beyond measure when we offer them to the service of God. This week, I'd like for you to take some time and pray where God wants to use your hands. Church, each person here has hands that are powerful beyond measure when we offer them to the service of God. So reach out to help others with your hands in many, many ways. Because you can't hold people in your heart without reaching out with your hands. This is what Jesus has shown us with his hands. You cannot hold God's people in your heart without reaching out with your hands. So use your hands in many ways to make a difference. Reach out and bring a neighbor to church. Extend your hand to welcome a guest. Hold the hands of those around you who are hurting or might just need a friend. Maybe God is calling you to pick up a hammer or a Bible, an oven mitt, a song sheet, Or maybe he's calling you to pick up and flip a pancake. But with your hands, reach out and touch those who are around you and share God's love. Will you bow with me and pray? Holy God, there are so many hands here today in this congregation that you have empowered, that you have created, that you are calling into service of you. God, help us to find that special niche that you want us to use in our lives to serve you. And may our hands reach out and touch those around us in so many different ways. God, we thank you for empowering us, and we thank you for the hands that have reached out to touch us and to make our lives better. God, we love you and want to serve you in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.